Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. Keith Kelly here with you, getting ready to talk some Mountain West basketball. Shoot us a text on the KFBC text line at 630-2266, 307-630-2266. We go to the phones. Our Root Sports Rocky Mountain Mountain West basketball update this week is with Joe Cravens. Joe, how you doing today?
I'm all right, Keith. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I mean, boy, you know, last time we talked, we just kind of got into the early part of the Mountain West season. It's hard to believe we're basically halfway through the conference season right now, but things sure are heating up with the Mountain West right now.
Well, it seems to be. I tell you, this is the time of year that, as a coach, I used to always tell my team every weekend you have a chance to play your way into contention or your way out of contention, and think how true that is, that each weekend you win two and, you know, you kind of move up in the standings, or you lose one or two and you move down. And so each game is pretty important as the season kind of, as you say, starts getting to the halfway point.
You know, I know Wyoming wasn't considered a team that was probably going to contend for a conference championship this year after winning the Mountain West tournament last year and losing so much, but they've lost three in a row, one of those without Josh Adams, who was suspended by the Mountain West. I mean, it's interesting. Larry Scheid always points to, you know, they're in the games, you know, with 5 minutes to play last night, they were within 3 points. Against Boise down the stretch, it was a four-point game with 3 minutes to play, and that was without Adams. They're in the games, they're just not being able to make plays down the stretch. Is that a telltale sign of a young team right there?
I think it's a sign of a young team, and you know, and playing against a team who last night, quite frankly, is more older and more talented than what Wyoming is. I mean, you saw, I think, two of the premier players in the league last year in Marvell Harris and Josh Adams, but you look at the rest of the Fresno team. I mean, they're older. They're you got a guy like Paul Watson and Cesar Guerrero and Karachi. Now, you know, those guys have been around a little bit, and a lot of Wyoming's team are playing, you know, essentially their first or second year of Division I basketball. And you know, I think Fresno is not probably one of the top two teams in the league, but I think they're in that next slot of three and four. And I think Larry Scheid is exactly right. They're in every game, but I think they lack the experience, and as they get more experience, they'll appear more talented to finish games. And this is a tough league to go down to the last 5 minutes and only have one guy, as they do, that can make a play off the dribble. And if you only have that one guy, the other team gangs up on you.
Last night, you know, Nevada had a golden opportunity at home in front of a really good crowd to take out San Diego State, and, you know, had a lead in the first half. I kind of zonked out before that game was over, and I know you've got Nevada coming up this weekend, but do you feel like that was maybe a missed opportunity for the Wolfpack, or is that a situation where San Diego State kind of withstood the early barrage by Nevada, and the cream rose to the top with the Aztecs?
Well, I think San Diego State, let me ask you this, when's the last time you saw a team shoot 28% and win?
I don't know.
San Diego State did. Of course, they held Nevada to 29%. But I think San Diego State is, if not the most talented team in the league, I think their mindset right now of what you and I talked about just a minute ago, of experience and talent. Steve Fisher, who is a future Hall of Famer, has this team playing at a very high level. I don't know that they're not the best defensive team in the nation. I watched them a week ago against a very, very talented Boise State team and just take them apart defensively. Now, if San Diego State could score easily, they'd be a top 10 in the nation type team, but they can't, they can't throw it out of a boat and hit the water on offense, but they know that about themselves. I think at the end it was the cream coming to the top. I think San Diego State is the best team in the league that has a huge liability which is their offense, and they have accepted that liability and been able to overcome it and be a great team.
I'm always amazed with Coach Fisher and his ability to get guys to buy into that defensive mindset and philosophy, because they have so much talent in this day and age with guys wanting to showcase their offensive skills and maybe take some time off defensively. He's got that ability to get those talented guys to buy into that defensive mindset, which is something a lot of coaches have trouble with doing at the mid-major level.
Kid, I'll tell you, it's astounding to me. I watched, I can't remember what it was aired on, the Boise State, San Diego State game, and I had the exact same thought. And I thought, you know, how does that guy who looks like an English professor now, standing on the sideline, get those guys to play so hard, so disciplined on defense? You know, Boise State plays a lot off dribble penetration and kicks it out to the open guy. They couldn't get to the paint off the dribble off of San Diego State. And, you know, you think of a team that's that good defensively, you think about a guy on the sideline, it'd be like Bobby Huggins or the guy at South Carolina that's a raving maniac, yelling and screaming. Steve Fisher stands there with his arms crossed and adjusts his glasses, and those guys just play up a storm. So I tell you, you're not the only one that finds that amazing. I was a college coach for 30 years, and I am just astounded at how he does that.
Did you have a trouble getting those guys to play defense then?
Well, of course. No one likes to play defense.
No.
You know, he does it consistently. My team's played good at times. Good at times through a game and good at times through the season. But they do it virtually every possession, and it's amazing to me how he does it. But it takes a terrific mindset and a mental discipline to play that way, and they do it better than anyone in the league and maybe anyone in the country.
Is there another team outside of San Diego State and Boise State that you think realistically has a shot to push those teams? I mean, I know New Mexico's sitting there with a couple of losses, but they just haven't looked the part. Fresno's kind of hanging around. They're three games back of San Diego State. Could one of those two teams push it, or is this a two-horse race right now?
Well, it sure appears to be a two-horse race. I think Fresno State has the talent on any given night to upset a Boise State or a San Diego State. Now, and I think UNLV falls into that same category. I don't think they can do it consistently. Again, I think they may end up upsetting a San Diego State. And remember, San Diego State only beat Fresno, had to go overtime to beat Fresno, and then San Diego State in a close game last night. That's the reason I think it's kind of San Diego State's year. They kind of think they're supposed to win every close game like that. But I think clearly Boise State and San Diego State are the top two teams. I think a New Mexico, I think a UNLV, I think a Fresno State could possibly upset one of those or get a win along the way against those two teams. But I don't think those next three teams that I just mentioned can do it night in and night out and turn it into a three-way race. I had New Mexico last Saturday or San Jose State, and at times they look terrific. They're just really having a hard time kind of finding an offensive rhythm in my mind. And of course, they played without Colin Neal last Saturday. But I think it sure seems like it's a two-horse race right now.
Joe, of course, Wyoming and Colorado State over the weekend on Saturday. You've got the nightcapper on Root Sports. Nevada will be at Utah State. You get a chance to see the Wolfpack in a tough environment playing at the Spectrum there in Logan. But should be a pretty good game with two teams right there in the middle of the pack in the conference.
Well, two teams that like to play small. And Coach Duryea in his first year up at Utah State sure had a lot thrown at him with David Collette coming in, one of the premier big men in the league 2 days before the season starts, and leaves the team. He's had to juggle his lineup. It looked like they were going to start coming around, and they have found themselves. They lose another starter to a season-ending injury. Nevada, I like. They play hard. They're athletic. They have trouble scoring, much like San Diego State. But I think they are one of those teams that is capable of winning on any given night. I just don't think they can do it over a long period of time. I think whoever can find some consistency between Nevada and Utah State offensively will be the team that has a leg up Saturday night.
You will be there in Logan, Nevada at Utah State. That'll be Saturday night on Root Sports Rocky Mountain. This has been our Root Sports Rocky Mountain Mountain West basketball update. Joe Cravens joining us here on the Sports Zone. Joe, have a great rest of the week. Enjoy your game on Saturday. Enjoy that weekend slate of games. We got games tonight, too, in the Mountain West.
Yes, we do. It's an exciting time of year, and it's a lot more pleasurable sitting over there broadcasting and talking about the coaches than it is being a coach. Let me tell you, these are dog days for Division I head coaches right now. So it's always a pleasure being with you. I love following the Mountain West Conference basketball season with you.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.